Last time, on Tales of the Ironlands, two travelers rescued Kalyra Sophie's daughter, following her disastrous expedition to the ruined settlement of Elenmir. They gathered her from where she lay unconscious on the side of the road back to Aidenholt, and brought her to the house of Dagny Olga's daughter, the priestess of Mirshanu, who had sent Kalyra to Elenmir in search of Knight's Ease, a flower necessary for treating Dagny's chronic illness. Dagny tended to Kalyra's wounds and sent a flock of crows looking for the missing Ainari, who turned out to have been waiting for Kalyra in the forest. Meanwhile, in the grip of a fever, Kalyra experienced a strange half-dream, half-vision of a lifeless rocky island whose stones filled her head with screaming every time she touched one of them. At the island's center, she met an elven woman spinning silver thread. The woman asked Kalyra to join her, for there was much spinning to be done. Kalyra asked what she was spinning, and the woman said, "All the woes of the world." Kalyra noticed that the raw materials of her thread appeared to be screams torn from the stones of the island, and demanded to know who the woman was. "My name is Pala," the woman said. She is, in fact, the Baron, the horror whom Kalyra has sworn to put down. Pala demanded that Kalyra join her, but Kalyra refused, fleeing the island. Kalyra woke in the darkness of Dagny's hut to find Ainari tending her. He apologized and begged her forgiveness for abandoning her. But she said nothing, and turned her back. And that's where we're going to pick up. For beginners, I think we have some bookkeeping to do. I'm going to move to reach your destination on the journey back to Dagny, which is currently at 10 progress out of 10. Double sevens, strong hit with a twist. I will take the plus one momentum, which actually, order of operations, I think the first thing I'm going to do is reset my momentum to just the base plus one, because it was at negative one, but she is now in a safe place and can simply recuperate. Then the reach your destination occurs, raising her momentum to plus two. Hooray. Marked off the journey. That also means that she can make progress on her quest to harvest Knight's Ease, because she has gone to Elenmir, found the stuff, harvested it, come back, and not died. So that puts her at 10 progress on Harvest Knight's Ease, and I am going to move to fulfill her vow. With 10 progress versus a 9 and a 10, so only a weak hit. Why? What do I get? Half XP? No, experience minus one, so that's effectively half XP. So she gains only one XP. What a time to roll a 10. Okay. After all of that, jeez. But I know exactly what's gone wrong. She took too long getting back. The Knight's Ease, it will be useful, but there's no chance that Dagny will be able to grow any more from that cutting that she took. It will last her only as long as this small supply that Kalyra has retrieved, and if Dagny needs more, another expedition will be necessary. I will not be swearing a vow to set things right at this point. I think one trip to Elenmir is ample for the moment. Man, that ticks me off.
Hmm.
All right. Furthermore, she has an outstanding vow, don't just lie down and die, which she took partway back through her extraordinarily difficult journey back from Ellenmere. It's currently at 9 progress out of 10, and I can't really think of anything else that she might do to advance it in terms of the fiction, so I'm simply going to move to end or fulfill that vow as well. I don't quite know what a miss would mean here. Does that mean she just dies? It's weird. But let's try it. Okay, now I need to decide what a miss means, because I've rolled double tens on fulfilling her vow not to just lie down and die. Pausing the recording. Okay, I have done some thinking, and I might just need to talk this out. First off, let it be noted for the record that I am seriously unhappy with my dice. I was anticipating getting easy 3 XP at the beginning of this session, and really looking forward to that, and it looks like I get 1. More problematic is the fact that I have just failed a fulfill your vow on a vow entitled Don't Just Lie Down and Die. My options are either recommit, clearing all but one filled progress and raising the quest's rank from troublesome to dangerous, which would mean that Kalyra is still in serious danger of death, or she could give up. She could forsake her vow, and that in this particular instance would mean that she decides just to lie down and die. I don't think that just lying down and dying sounds like something that Kalyra would choose to do. Which means that all of the things I had wanted to do this session after she recovered are not going to happen because she is in imminent peril of death, and has to fight it off all over again. Wow. I was seriously tempted, by the way, to simply abandon this recording and start all over and roll the hell everything again. But I'm not doing that, because although I wouldn't have to tell anyone, I would still know myself, and it would bug me. So, I am going to clear 8 progress on Don't Just Lie Down and Die. And bump its rank up to dangerous. And now I'm going to pause the recording again while I figure out exactly what's going on with that. In the morning, Kalyra does not wake up. After their very brief conversation in the dark of night, Inari sat dejectedly by her side, and she went back to sleep. Morning comes, her fever has returned. She is suffering a relapse. Dagny makes her way into the room. Inari looks up at the sound of her staff, thump, thump, as she walks through her house. The door creaks open. Well, did she wake at all during the night?
Yes, he says, briefly. She opened her eyes and she looked at me. And I apologized to her, and I asked for her forgiveness.
And what did she say?
Nothing, he says. She just turned away.
Well, I can't say I blame her, says Dagny, pointedly.
Here we are. Let me have a look at you. She comes over to the side of Kalyra's bed and examines her, laying a gnarled hand across Kalyra's brow. She's burning up. Her fever is higher than it was yesterday.
Go fetch some water, boy, says Dagny. We need to get her temperature down. Kalyra finds herself walking through mist once again. She is uncertain of where exactly she is. She remembers her confrontation with Pala on the island of Screaming Stones. She remembers waking up. She remembers Ainari's apology. But now she is here. She looks around and can make out very little. The fog cuts off all vision further than perhaps 25 or 30 feet away. She can see dimly around her. In addition to the fog, she can make out the landscape immediately around her, which is composed of dirt, stones, nothing else. It is neither cold nor warm. In fact, as she becomes aware of it, she is puzzled to learn that there does not seem to be any sensation of temperature at all here, wherever here is. Where am I? She says. Her voice falls away, deadened by the mists that surround her. How do I get home again? Nothing answers. All is still and quiet. I guess I'll just pick a direction and go, she says. And so that's what she does. She walks into the mists and walks and walks. I'm going to ask the Oracle, does she come to a hazard or a haven? And it's just going to be a 50% chance either way. Low is hazard, high is haven. 3. She has come to a hazard. Terrific. I'm going to roll on theme here to figure out what sort of hazard this is. Corruption. and the mists clear once more, and Kalyra discovers that she has returned to the lake, to Pala's lake. She frowns, looking out over the still waters towards the empty island at the center where she knows Pala sits spinning thread from the screams that sit in the rocks. No. There's no point going back there. She turns and walks away again, back into the mist. Once again, I will ask, Hazard or Haven? Low is Hazard, high is Haven. 97. And we're going to roll on theme to work out something about what type of haven this is. Came up 9, wound. I'm going to roll on action here. Distract. As she walks through the mists, Kalyra comes to another clear space. Things open up before her, and she finds herself standing on a stony plain. There doesn't seem to be any sun, per se, in this place, but an omnipresent light. The shadows are strange, weak. The illumination from all directions means that shadows fall in all directions as well. It's very peculiar looking to the eye. What is this place? She thinks. Goes into it, alert for any danger. Towards the center of the plain, she discovers a small spring. Water seeps out of the side of a low rise and forms a pool in amongst some boulders. Ah, how strange, she thinks as she gets near, because she feels something. She feels a pain in her foot. She's most peculiar because up to this moment she had not experienced any pain at all in her time in this strange place. Looking down, she discovers that the foot that she wounded in the fight with the bone walkers outside of Elenmir has begun seeping dark blood. She leaves dark red footprints on the dirt behind her. I should wash that, she thinks. And so she approaches the spring and lowers her foot into it. However, she has failed to notice something. The wound has distracted her. Oracle, what has Kalyra failed to notice about this place? Rolling on theme. 24. balance. Kalyra has failed to notice a creature.
Who goes?
Comes a gravelly, deep voice as she finishes washing her foot. Oh, hello? She says.
Who goes?
And looking up, she discovers a primordial, an earth primordial. It was balanced precariously above the source of the waters. It looked just like a boulder until it uncurled itself and stood up. Oh, hello. I'm Kalyra, Sophie's daughter, she says.
Why are you here?
I was just... Well, I don't know, really, she says. I don't even know what this place is. I was just walking through the mists, looking to get away from the Baron's Island. Are you the same primordial I have spoken with before?
No, it says. We have not met. You have spoken with one of my kind?
Oh, yes, she says. In a way, I guess I'm sort of related to the other one. Sort of.
Explain.
And Kalyra relates the story of how her father made a bargain with a primordial, an earth primordial, who helped him to conceive her, and in exchange became the primordial's child, and is even now in the cave in the hinterlands, becoming a new primordial.
I see, says the primordial. You are part of the balance that remains to be struck.
And what does that mean, she says.
It just looks at her.
Won't you please explain? I feel like half the time I don't understand what's going on.
And she's going to try a compel. And she's being nice about it, so we're going to go with heart. At plus 3. I have a weak hit. 6. Oh, no, wait. I don't have any results yet, because I've rolled the challenge dice, but I have not rolled the action die. Oops. So, the challenge dice came up 6 and 5. And for some reason I was looking over at the challenge die that had a 3 on it, but had not actually been rolled. So I should roll that. Came up 2. Plus 3 is 5, versus a 5 and a 6.
You will learn all about that in due time. Or else you won't.
What does that mean, she says. And it just looks at her. All right, well, listen, if you won't tell me about that, can you at least tell me, what is this place? Where am I?
And I guess we'll try a compel again, once more with heart. And drop one of the dice on the floor.
Okay.
I have an 8. 5 plus 3 is 8. Versus a 6 and an 8. For a weak hit. The primordial is stoic. Impassive. Why should I tell you anything when you are so fleeting? Give me a reason. Because I have sworn a vow to put down the Baron Pala to another of your kind, and if I can't figure out where I am, I won't be able to do that. Very well. This is Alumpana, the before time. This is the memory of the world, its remembrance of what it was like before the first spirits separated from it and became those creatures that the elves refer to as the Green Father, the White Mother, the Blue Sister, the Red Brother, and the Black Lady. It is a between place. It is a place where spirits come when they have died but refused to pass beyond the Black Lady's door. Well, I haven't died, says Kalaira. Or rather, I did. Earlier, I saw the Black Door, and the Black Lady offered me a chance to go back if I would do something for her. And what did you offer to do for her? I didn't offer so much as she told me what to do. She said I would need to go pluck the rose of light and shadow from where it grows in the shattered wastes beyond the veiled mountains and bring it to her. Do you know something about the rose? Yes, but I do not think I need to tell you about that. All right, well, so you said this is Alumpana, the before time, the remembrance of the world. What am I doing here? I haven't died. No. But you are close to it. This is a between place, as I said. You will be here until either you die in truth and pass through the Black Door, or else find your way back to the lands of the living and resume your quests. I thought I did that, she says. I woke up. Inari was there. It seems that your trouble is not yet concluded. May I stay here for a while? She says. I don't feel weary, and yet I know I am, she says. I am weary. I must be. And I think that requires a compel check. Again with heart, she's asking politely. Six plus three is 9 versus
a 6 and a 9. So that's a weak hit. He wants something in exchange. All right, what does this primordial want from her? Oracle, rolling on theme. That came up 69 prize, but I think I'm going to ignore it and take 68 instead, which is portent.
Great things occur in the world, and the path forward is not clear to me. I require your assistance in a ritual that will grant me some inkling of what is to come. That is the price that I demand for offering you a safe place to stay for a while.
All right, says Clara. I don't see that I really have much choice. I would ordinarily swear a vow to help you, but I have no iron. None of it has come with me.
There is iron in your heart, little one. Swear on that.
All right. Kalyra lifts a hand and presses it against her own chest. By the iron in my heart, I will assist you with the ritual to gain a portent of what is to come.
And she's going to swear an iron vow, because she didn't have enough of those outstanding at the moment.
To assist with the primordial's portent. Which I'm going to mark as a troublesome quest. And here comes the swear an iron vow, which is, I believe, plus heart. Okay, weak hit. 3 plus 3 is 6 versus a 4 and a 10. It'd be nice to get a strong hit on something at some point. So she gains +1 momentum and has a new vow. What do I need to do? She says.
First, I need your blood, says the primordial.
How much?
A drop will do.
Oh, well, that's easy, she says. My foot was bleeding as I walked here. Look! And she points back at her bloody footprints along the path, or along the plain that led to her. She picks up one of the bloody stones and hands it to the primordial.
That will suffice, it says.
And we're going to mark progress. 1, 2... 3. 3 progress on her troublesome quest to assist with the primordial's portent. So that was easy. What else? That can't be it,
she says.
You must make me fire. It does not lie within my power to bring fire to this place.
Oh. Well. All right. She looks around. There are rocks everywhere. And I'm going to ask the Oracle. Are there rocks in this area that will strike sparks when struck against one another? I think the answer is unlikely. So we're going to go with 30 or lower is yes, and anything higher than that is no. I rolled a 1. Yeah. She finds some rocks that will strike fire. Kalaira searches around the plain, banging rocks together until she discovers 2 of them that strike sparks when struck together. Oh, good, she says. And then it occurs to her. She has no fuel. There's nothing here but stone and earth and water. What shall I burn? Oh! And she looks down. She is still wearing the flowing white robe that she found herself in. And she takes a sharp rock and saws it against the edge of this robe. It hurts, actually, as she does this. In Dagny's house, Kalaira stirs. Ah, she says. Ah. Ainari looks over from where he sits beside her bed. It's strange, he says. Ow, says Kalaira back in the lands of mist and shadow. Alumpana. That hurts. But nevertheless, she tears a strip off of her robe. And she's going to suffer 1 spirit loss, which becomes 1 momentum loss down to +2, because her spirit is at 0 at the moment. Everything is at 0 except momentum. Because she has not had an opportunity to sojourn in, 3 sessions. And she's going to need to endure stress. Ah, 6 plus 3 is 9 versus a 2 and a 1 for a strong hit on that endure stress. She gains +1 momentum, so back up to 3. In Dagny's hut, Kalaira settles once again. In the lands of mist and shadow, Alumpana, Kalaira takes the small strip that she has torn from her flowing robe and bundles it up and sets it on top of a rock. All right, she tells the primordial, I think I can set fire to this. Why did it hurt, though? I don't understand.
Your robe, it is part of your life force.
Oh, so I'm burning my own life away here? She says, and it nods its head, the glowing orange eyes peeking out from between the rocks that make its head. And we're gonna mark progress on assist with the primordial's portent. All right. What else? Do I just need to set this on fire? Yes, says the primordial. I will be vulnerable while I am conducting this ritual. But your final task is to defend me while I seek portents. All right, she says. What am I likely to defend you against? If you are lucky, nothing at all. But there are spirits out there that will be drawn to the scent of life force burning. If they come, you must fend them off. Can I fight them with weapons? She says. No. If they come, you will have to fight them with your will. What does that even mean? She asks. You will know when the time comes. Go ahead and light it. All right, and Kalyra takes the two stones, strikes them against one another. It takes several tries before the sparks catch in the strip of cloth that she tore from her robe. But it catches fire, and it burns blue. The primordial takes the stone that has her blood on it and sets it in amongst the flames, and a sweet smelling vapor rises up from it. The primordial sits cross-legged in front of it and peers into the vapors, and first one and then the other of its two glowing orange eyes change color to teal, and it goes still. Clara looks around, waiting nervously to see whether any spirits will emerge from the fog and mist at the edges of this clearing. And I'm going to ask the oracle, do any spirits come? I think... we're just going to make it a 50-50 chance. If I roll low, then the answer is yes. High is no. One. Again. Yes, spirits come. I am going to ask the oracle how many. Is it one, two, or three? And I will just do 30, 60, and 40. No. Lowest 40 is 1, the 30 after that up to 70 is 2, and then 3 would be higher. 79. There are 3 of them. I swear, my dice want to kill me! As the vapor rises, Kalaira catches sight of motion in the swirling mists at the edge of this rocky plain, and three spirits emerge from it, taking form out of the white, gray mists. They are tattered, empty, half-spirit things, lacking any physical form beyond the mist that they're holding to mark their positions in space. Their eyes glisten pale yellow, and they make a hissing noise as they advance on her position. And I think we're going to have to enter the fray. Okay. Enter the fray. We're rolling plus heart. She was expecting them. They have not ambushed her. She has not ambushed them. So 2 plus 3 is 5 versus a 3 and a 10. She can either gain initiative or she can gain +2 momentum. I'm going to take initiative. And I'm going to mark these as troublesome. As they advance on her position, Kalaira picks up a rock and then remembers that the primordial said she would need to fight it with her spirit. And she thinks back to when she faced those drowned spirits in the lake around the barren island. She lifts her gaze up to the approaching spirits and holds up a hand and simply orders them. Back. This is not for you. Return whence you came. And we are going to roll iron. Is that iron? I mean, this is not a physical confrontation. I think we're going to go with heart. That seems more closely connected to fighting with her spirit. And we're going to add +1 because of death touched. So, rolling at +4. 2 plus 4 is 6 versus a 2 and a 6 for a weak hit. Now that was a compel. I think rather than the spirits wanting something in return, which I don't want another layer of complication right now, thank you, I'm just going to say that it didn't work on all of them. It was either one or two of them who obey her order, and I'm going to ask the Oracle, was it one or two? Fifty-fifty chance. Low is one, high is two. 86. 2. 2 of the spirits slow and halt as Kalaira orders them back. They pause and hiss, but they do not care to take their chances against her and reluctantly fade back into the vapors that surround the plain. The third one keeps coming, and because we do not have initiative here, I think it's going to try and get at the vapors rising from the fire. That's what it wants. Sweetness of burning life essence. And Kalaira is going to try and restrain it. It isn't a physical thing that she can grab hold of, however, so I think This would be a face danger roll. And she's going to roll plus wits. Five plus two is seven versus a two and a one for a strong hit. She gains plus one momentum to four. Seeing that the spirit is headed for the smoke, Kalaira reasons that she can disrupt it simply by running straight through it. And this is what she does. She charges forward, waving her arms through the evanescent mist that is its form. It is disrupted temporarily. As she passes through it, she glances back at the primordial, whose eyes are still teal and still looking at the curls of smoke rising from the fabric. For a moment, she thinks she sees something in those swirls, but then she shakes her head. She can't look at that right now. She has to deal with the spirit, which has formed once again behind her. And now its attention is on her. She is what is preventing it from reaching the essence that it wants. And so, we're going to clash. What kind of stat should I use on this, though? Ordinarily, it would be iron or edge. Let's go with iron. 5 plus 2 is 7 versus a 7 and a 1. So that's a weak hit. I told you to go back, she says, but it swarms towards her and sort of gathers up around her face. She can hear the hissing as it tries to inhale her breath. And she suffers one spirit damage, which is going to be negative one momentum, and she'll endure stress in a moment. But she also inflicts harm on it. Three, because this is troublesome. She inflicts harm. She opens her eyes, her death-touched eyes, and stares into its glowing orbs. And there's a brief flash, and it falls back from her. It takes a portion of her breath with her, leaving her winded, and she endures stress. With heart is one on the die, plus three is four, versus a one and a two, which is a strong hit. So, she gains plus one momentum, back up to four, and gains initiative. Back, I said, and she is going to strike, which I think she is going to do simply by staring into its eyes with her own, and she's going to roll heart for an attack here. 3 plus 3 is 6 versus a 5 and an 8 for a weak hit on the strike. She inflicts harm and loses initiative. The spirit quails under her glance, but then it launches itself back at her once again, and latches onto her face. It is unpleasantly like being kissed by someone who does not care for you at all. Someone who wants something from you. In this case, her life essence. And we're going to clash once more. And this was iron again, so 5 plus 2 is 7 versus a 4 and a 10. She suffers one more spirit loss, which is minus 1 momentum, and she'll endure stress in a moment. But she glares back at it, and it winces away from the glow of her pale blue eyes. And we're marking does inflict harm, which is just one, because she's unarmed, but fortunately it is troublesome, so one harm is 3 progress, bring us to 9 progress. And she will endure stress again. 1 plus 3 is 4 versus a 3 and a 2 for a strong hit. She gains plus 1 momentum, back to 4, and gains initiative. Coming off a strong hit with 9 progress, I'm going to move to end the fight. It's a progress roll. So I've got 9 progress, and I got a 7 and a 2 on the dice for a strong hit. As the ragged spirit latches onto her face once again, Kalyra gives it what it wants. She puffs out a quick breath, which disrupts its form and stares at its eyes as they fade and wither away. But as she does so, she does suffer one spirit loss, which is going to be minus 1 momentum. And she's going to have to endure stress again. Weak hit. 3 plus 3 is 6 versus a 2 and a 9. She presses on. In the hut of Dagny, Kalyra stirs once more. Inari looks up in alarm. "And that's a strange noise she's making," says Dagny. "Oh no," says Inari. How could it be?"
"What?" says Dagny.
"Oh, it's the singing death," he says.
"The singing death? What on earth is that?"
"On the way here, we stopped in the lost village of the Shatu tribe. They died of a plague called the Singing Death. There was a spirit there that spoke to her and told her about it. It said that the people suffering from it had high fevers and that they emitted strange musical shrieks." Dagny lowers her head and winces. "And is it contagious?" she says.
"I don't know," says Inari. "But it did kill off an entire village, so it wouldn't surprise me. But, on the other hand, it was caused by the Baron."
"Baron? I'm not familiar," says Dagny.
"Baron, it's an elven death spirit. It rises from the spirit of an elf who has made a pledge to the Black Lady and failed to keep it. The Baron was the cause of the disease, but that was ages ago. How could she have it? I don't understand." Back in the land of mists and shadow, Alumpana, Kalyra heaves a sigh of relief as the final spirit dissipates. And we're to mark progress.
on her vow to assist with the Primordial's portent. And in fact, we're going to move to end this little sub-quest. She's going to fulfill her vow. Oh, this is a progress roll, so I didn't need the action die. I have a weak hit with a 2 and a 9 versus a 9 and a 2. No, excuse me, 9 progress versus a 2 and a 9. So, she has we're just declaring this over. She gets no experience out of it. Again. The Primordial finishes its task. The last of the vapors from the burning shred of Kalyra's robe dissipate, and its eyes return to their more normal orange. Is that it? Are you done? Says Kalyra.
I am.
If I asked you what you learned, would you tell me? She says.
No,
it says. Keep your secrets, she says. I am too tired to ask. I can rest here now?
Yes. I will watch over you while you rest.
And we're going to sojourn. That's a rolling plus heart. Two on the die plus 3 is 5 versus a 2 and a 9 for a weak hit on the sojourn. Well, what do I want? I don't think it makes narrative sense to restore her health here. Or maybe it does. Maybe it does. Maybe. Yes. Okay. I think it does, because then she can mark progress on Don't Just Lie Down and Die. Again. So, Kalyra rests by the spring. Primordial is silent, contemplating whatever it learned from the ritual that it conducted. In the cabin of Dagny, Kalyra tosses and turns, occasionally emitting strangely musical shrieks. I don't know how long this disease might run, but we must keep her cool, says Dagny. They continue mopping her brow and, in fact, bathing her with cold, cold water to bring down her fever. Marking progress on Don't Just Lie Down and Die. Kalyra, in the lands of mist and shadow in Alumpana, rests for a long while. And then she stands, stretches her legs, although she doesn't feel stiff. She walks around anyway, more out of habit than anything else. I guess I can just... Is there something I need to do to get out of here? She mutters to herself.
whole thing is so terrible. I'm going to rest some more. And we're going to sojourn once again. One on the die plus 3 is 4 versus a 9 and an 8. She has missed and must pay the price. I think the price is that she suffers 1 health damage as the disease advances. And she has to endure harm. Plus 2 is 4 versus a 1 and a 2 for a strong hit. Plus 1 momentum up to 4 again. Kalyra takes no rest. From the time she spends sitting by the spring, she becomes restless. In the waking world, she stirs and turns and tosses and shrieks. Her voice is beginning to sound ragged from the shrieks that she's made. I can't just sit here, she says to herself. I should go and do something. Excuse me, she says to the primordial. What else is out there? Is there anything I can do to help myself?
This is a place of will, of determination, of spirit. There are things you can do to help yourself out there.
Such as, she says.
One thing you could do would be to seek a healer.
Where would I find one in here?
Traveling in Alumpana is a matter of will. And there are creatures or spirits that dwell here. It would be hazardous for you, but if you could locate a Cromlech, then you might be able to find some help.
A Cromlech? You mean like the elven circles? The stones?
Yes, says the primordial.
I've seen those, but how would... I mean, I don't understand.
The Cromlech stones are connected to Alumpana. Elven spirits that choose may stay in Alumpana and offer their knowledge and experience through the stones to those they have left behind. It's a settlement, if you will, on this side of existence. Find a Cromlech, and you will find those who can aid you better than I.
Huh, says Kalyra. Well, it beats sitting around here and waiting, she says. How do I find a Cromlech?
Envision where you wish to go and begin walking. Distance is not the same here as it is in the waking world.
All right. Thank you, she says. Clara stands and nods her head to the primordial, begins to walk into the mist, thinking of the Cromlech of the Skaran tribe, where her friend Belisant Talvani sits and listens to the stones. And that's where we're going to call session.